Well, thank you for coming. Appreciate you making it over here today. And happy St. Patrick's Day. Given the holiday, I think every legislator is really wishing to find a pot of gold around here, but the Democrats probably spent them already anyways, so we're not expecting to see those. We're here today to start talking about the budget process. That's something that of course, we had the forecast last week, so now we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about some of the details on that. As you saw a few weeks ago, we laid out our fraud proposals, and there is a bipartisan agreement for really the need for protection from bad actors of our taxpayer dollars. But there is a lot of wasteful spending, misprioritization of the dollars, and we as legislators need to take care of that as well. While Governor Wallace has proposed painful cuts to disability care and special education services to balance his budget, we want to make sure that we're putting Minnesotans first, of course. We're going to do that by ending we're going to end the train issues that are going on, freeing up existing health care funds, prioritizing Minnesotans, and implementing good government measures. We can cut spending without shifting costs onto our counties or schools, who in turn shift that burden back onto our taxpayers. We have identified over $640 million in immediate future savings. These are real dollars waiting to be spent on things that just don't make sense and don't put Minnesotans first. One of the first things we identified is $21 million in funding sitting in a healthcare access fund yet to be passed for the public option. We would like to roll that back and earmark and free up that funding for this budget because we clearly need it. So there are a number of other items that we're going to be talking about today. For those, I want to start with Senator Jasinski on transportation funding. Senator Jasinski.
Well, thanks, Mark, and happy St. Patrick's Day. With a name like Jasinski, you probably don't think I'm Irish, but I am, so. With an $18 billion surplus that turned into a $6 billion deficit, there's lots of ways we can talk about opportunities to end wasteful spending. This is why we're here today. We are here to put Minnesotans first and make smarter choices with your taxpayer dollars. In transportation alone, millions of dollars have been wasted on projects like North Star Rail, Northern Lights Express, and light rail. These are really expensive experiments that just aren't delivering results. A recent MnDOT report confirmed that North Star is a financial black hole. It's 97% subsidized. Less than 3% of its costs are actually by ticketed sales. Taxpayers are footing the bill for virtually the entire train. We could save $11 to $12 million per year by cutting out the North Star train. It's approximately $173 per ride that it's government subsidized. The North Star Lights Express is another commuter financial disaster in the making. We've already set aside $194.5 million in this project, and less than 1% has been spent. That's $194 million that could go straight back to the general fund instead of wasting it on a train that nobody will use. In fact, a number of my colleagues have sent a letter to the governor and Commissioner Dobenberg asking to pause additional funding on the NLX, or the Northern Lights. Then there's the light rail. Southwest Light Rail was riddled with delays, overruns, and mismanagement that became a poster child for government waste. We can't have this happen again. We can prevent the next light rail boondoggle by halting the Blue Line and saving $30 million back into the general fund. Bus rapid transit is a much better way to spend our money. A few years ago, we spent $6 million on a study for Reconnect Rondo. This study said that we all knew, a land bridge that was just not feasible. We understand the Rondo community wants connection and restoration, but we can be better stewards of taxpayer dollars. There's only $500,000 left in this appropriation, but we have the responsibility to protect it. Also, Rethink 94, MnDOT has spent $19.2 million, and they scrapped the project. Altogether, we could save Minnesotans roughly $247 million right now, and millions more every year. These results simply aren't there for any of these projects. This money is better spent on critical service. Thank you. And with that, I'll turn over to Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Senator Jasinski. My name is Jordan Rasmussen, State Senator from Fergus Falls. We saw in the last budget biennium that Democrats have prioritized non-citizens over Minnesota residents, diverting critical resources away from Minnesota families. I just want to remind folks that every dollar spent on benefits for non-citizens who are here illegally is a dollar taken away from health care, schools, roads, and other essential services for Minnesotans. With our state facing a $6 billion Democrat-created deficit, hardworking Minnesotans should not be forced to fund benefits for individuals who have entered this country illegally, ignoring our country's immigration laws. We should also not incentivize individuals who broke the law by entering the United States illegally to come here to Minnesota. In recent sessions, Democrats passed legislation forcing taxpayers to pay for free college, free health care, and other welfare benefits for non-citizens. That's why Republicans and I have introduced legislation to stop Minnesota taxpayer dollars from funding free health care for non-citizens through MinnesotaCare. This alone would provide our state a cost savings of approximately $220 million. And just to underscore, if those dollars, which we do not receive reimbursement from the federal government, is applied to other forecasted programs, it could potentially double the impact and reduce proposed cuts to Minnesota nursing homes and disability services. Our proposal also prohibits state dollars from going to the North Star Promise program for funding free college for illegal immigrants. Another item that I wanted to highlight that Democrats passed under their complete control of state government was tax credits for non-citizens, which totals up to $158 million. That's another opportunity for us to find savings and put Minnesota families first. And I think what we heard loud and clear this last election, what we're hearing from our constituents, is that they want to ensure that taxpayer dollars are going to Minnesota families and not incentivizing illegal behavior and illegal immigration here in the state of Minnesota. And with that, I'll turn it over to Senator Rich Dreheim.
Thank you, and thanks for being here. I want to shift gears just a little bit and talk about good governance and transparency. You know, a lot of the problems we're facing today could have been averted if we would have done a better job when we got elected. So Senator Johnson, Senator Jasinski, and myself started our ninth year. And years ago, I had many bills on transparency and zero-based budgeting or performance-based budgeting. And if we look at what we've done and why we're in this situation, in my opinion, we've done a disservice to the taxpayers. Taxpayers deserve and expect us to use their tax dollars wisely. So if you like a program or hate a program, it shouldn't matter. The program should still function. There should still be accountability. Should be transparent. People should know what we are using their tax dollars for. We have multiple bills this year throughout our caucus. One that I have tries to address the conflict of interest that I have seen in the 9 years that I've been here between legislators, legislators' staff, and nonprofits. Another bill addresses highly compensated executives in nonprofits that come to us and ask for grant money. So I've had nonprofits come and ask for $500,000 when their executive pay is $500,000. So I think people in Minnesota expect better. We also should know how our state facilities are being used. You know, with COVID, it brought on a huge trend to work from home. We have quite a few state employees that don't even live in the state anymore. But we also have a lot of government buildings that are sitting empty. And we have other agencies leasing very expensive buildings down the street in a very expensive part of St. Paul, where other buildings that the state already owns are sitting empty or partially empty. Another proposal that we have is to sunset commissions, working groups, etc. We have hundreds of open spots, vacancies on different commissions, working groups, etc. There's over 4,000 Minnesotans that serve on these groups, which is a good thing. But at some point, we have to sunset. What was the mission? Why did we create that? In the last 2 years, we created 49 new work groups, commissions, et cetera. 49 in the last 2 years. And every one of these costs money to operate. And I'm not saying they don't have a function, but every 2 years, they should come back to us and kind of justify their existence. The zero-based budget would do that. Every 10 years, my bill would require every agency in the state to look at what their budget is, bring it down to zero, build it back up. What metrics are they going to use to track the success of their agency? So what is their purpose? What is their goal? And then be transparent about it to the public. And I believe if we would have done this when we got elected 9 years ago, we wouldn't be facing this $6 billion deficit. With that, I'll turn it over to Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Senator Dreheim. As you can see, we have an obligation to reduce wasteful spending and put Minnesotans first in this state. Just simply reviewing the existing funds and the funding mechanisms, it's not hard to find over $640 million of misplaced priorities and waste in this state. I know your first question is going to be, hey, there's a $6 billion hole. This just makes a little dent. But I challenge you to look into the cuts of what Governor Walz has proposed, then ask if it makes sense to dig a little bit deeper into the government pockets before we start digging into Minnesotans' pockets. We're confident there's more misprioritized spending and waste to be found, and we can promise you that we will be looking into that. With that, happy to take questions.
What will you do around the big growth in, you know, HHS funding, special education the governor talks about? As you're attacking that, do you foresee agreeing with some of those cuts that the governor's proposed?
Well, I think one of the things that we're adamant against is shifting that onto the counties. We've been hearing a lot from our counties about the increased costs that they're going to be seeing. Almost $804 million will be shifted onto the counties if we go with the governor's proposal. I don't think anybody's interested in seeing that. And so we're going to be working very closely with fellow legislators and identifying areas that we can trim that spending and reprioritize Minnesotans first.
To non-citizens. First of all, I just wanted to know, does that include only undocumented? Does it also include green card holders? Is this all figured just for undocumented?
Yeah, some of the, for the tax credits, we don't have the fiscal analysis to show what would be for illegal immigrants versus non-citizens who are here legally. But again, when we look at the Minnesota Care and the proposal, that would be making sure that we're not funding benefits for non-citizens who are here illegally. And I think that's important to emphasize.
Are those tax credits mostly child tax credits or a variety of them?
There's a variety of tax credits that basically the Democrats took tax credits where you used to have a Social Security number to be eligible, and they moved it to an I-10. And so there's also property tax credits that illegal immigrants are eligible for given the changes that the Democrats made under single party control.
These are not like refunds that they might be due because they're paying taxes legally.
These are tax credits, tax expenditures that the Democrats, with their change in the 2023 tax bill, have made illegal immigrants and other non-citizens eligible for.
Where did you get the numbers, like $220 million for Minnesota Care for non-citizens? Where does that number come from?
Yeah, so that is from the agencies looking at from fiscal year 2026 to fiscal year 2029. That is the net cost to the Healthcare Access Fund. So that actually is looking at the net state impact, and that adds up to $220 million.
So that's not $220 million going to non-citizens solely?
No, this would be for Minnesota Care payments for illegal immigrants in Minnesota.
There's another broader Minnesota Care
pool that we actually get substantial federal reimbursement for. So this is looking at just the part that for undocumented individuals.
Senator Johnson, these are probably examples of areas where it's going to be very difficult to reach compromise, which with the tie now in the House and you guys just one vote short of the majority in the Senate, how difficult is it going to be to get Democrats to go along with any of this?
Well, if you look going forward in a $6 billion deficit 2 years out from now, if we don't start addressing this right away, we're going to be in a significant fiscal issue going out those 2 years. And so even now, when you look at our structural budget, we're already spending $3 billion more than what we're taking in revenue-wise. And so the only reason why Democrats can say we have a surplus right now and pay our bills is simply because we're stealing out of the bank account, out of the savings account of Minnesotans. And so if we're not addressing this now, there's going to be a huge fiscal cliff. And so it would be prudent for us as legislators to be ahead of the ball and get this done early. So hopefully they come to the table and work with us, because that would be the right thing to do.
But having said that, do you agree it will likely be very difficult to get them to give up things they've already promised?
Yeah, and Tom, they're going to have to make decisions. That $18 billion that they spent and raised taxes by $10 billion, that's over now. And so how do we make the budget when they have a limited number of resources? It's easy to spend when you have all that money. Now they're going to have to prioritize. What we're saying up here, let's put Minnesotans first.
Are you just inspired sort of by President Trump and the cuts that he's working on achieving at the federal level?
Come again?
Are you inspired in part by President Trump and the cuts that he's achieved and is achieving at the federal level?
So, you know, there's a lot of things happening at the federal level. I know they're going through the reconciliation process with the bills out there as well. But when you look at the state of Minnesota, and right now we have the governor's proposal in front of us, where he's cutting everything from special education to human services funding for our counties. So we've got to be focused here on the state of Minnesota and how to move forward here.
So I know on transit projects, one tricky issue in the past has been, I've heard that delaying can actually have a price tag and cost money, and particularly in terms of like light rail projects, there may be contracts in place already that you have to deal with. Is that an issue in any of these proposed transit cuts, or are these things that don't fall into that category? Were you
We're a little tight right now, but with North Star, we should be putting in MnDOT. Came out the report, MnDOT and Met Council came in to try and halt that funding there. We have to apply to the federal to get that stopped. But I think if you look at things, that makes the most sense to stop that where it's at now and stop the bleeding. Again, it's $11 to $12 million per year we're paying here. But no, we'd have to work with the federal government to stop that as well to get an exemption from North Star to continue.
Were you surprised how much of the Rondo account has already been spent?
Yes, I was.
Without any shovels being turned or anything?
Correct, I was. And looking at the Rethink I-94, you know, that's $19.2 million was spent, and they scrapped the project. So, you know, we saw the fancy pictures with all the, you know, the boulevards and all that things, but there's no truck traffic there. And obviously, I-94 is a crucial cross connection between Minneapolis and St. Paul. I think there's 5 healthcare campuses. We have emergency vehicles going there. And in their designs, they had all these, you know, nice looking cars and no trucks. Well, that truck traffic has to go somewhere. So that was $19.2 million to look at that project, and now they've scrapped it.
Sort of zoom out a little bit, maybe a question for Leader Johnson. You know, we have that $6 billion deficit coming up, and this is $600 million. You said it yourself a couple of minutes ago. I mean, that's just a small chunk of all this. How long did it take to identify this list of line items, and how much longer would it take to find $6 billion worth of savings?
So I'm fortunate, Quinn, to have a great team. So our leads and members have really dug into the budgets of the different jurisdictional and committee areas across the scope. And so as they're going through these bills, as you heard from Senator Rasmussen, Senator Drzezinski, Senator Dreheim, there are easy to identify areas that we can start looking at as a way of cutting out of the government's pocket, not out of Minnesotans' pockets. And so this didn't take long. We're only, 2.5 months into session, and we've already identified $646 million of savings. I anticipate as we get closer to the end of session, it will be identifying more and more of this And hopefully we look to figuring out how to make government more efficient and prioritizing that spending, as opposed to going back to Minnesotans and taxing Minnesotans more. We're absolutely against that.
You know, you're talking about being good stewards of taxpayer money and resources. Do you think drafting a bill on Trump derangement syndrome is a good use of that?
So thanks for the question. Senate Republicans have always supported mental health funding, trying to make sure that there are resources available for that. There was a bill that was drafted that was a little bit tongue-in-cheek on the TDS. But I think what you're seeing in our committees has been really, they've been railroading our committees by talking about Trump more than they have been talking about the deficit and the problems that we have here in the state of Minnesota. It's getting to the point where it's hard to have a serious conversation even within our committees themselves. Let's get focused on what's important, prioritizing Minnesotans. That's what we want to make sure that we're doing. And so, you know, that's what we're going to make sure that happens going forward. And hopefully, folks, you know, this will go away and we'll just be able to focus on what's happening here in the state.
Is that a bill that leadership would be supportive of moving forward, or were you involved in drafting it at all? It kind of sounds like you're saying you weren't.
Look, members are free to do as they wish. The thing is, I think our members are feeling a little frustration of all these red herrings that are being thrown out in committees. I wish Democrats would actually come to the table and be serious about the issues in front of us. We've got plenty to do right here in Minnesota.
Senator Johnson, can you comment on Walz's town hall tour and how your caucus is feeling about that?
So I mean, it was great to have Governor Walz back in the state again this morning during Sovereignty Day. It was nice to see him after his tour across the Midwest as he's campaigning out there. I think it would have been nice, you know, to go out and have a conversation with him, whether it was in Madison or in Iowa or wherever. We have problems here in the state, and for him to be running away from those problems is really discouraging. There's plenty of time in the summer to go do that, but right now, we need everybody here, all hands on deck, and for him to really abscond from the state is tough to work with.
Supportive of
schedule. Republicans have complained that he hasn't been meeting. Are you back on track now that
As soon as the story started coming out about the governor not meeting with Republicans, we put one together for Wednesday. The governor's office called on Wednesday, so it'll be a four-leader meeting there with the governor.
Are you supportive of members doing what you refer to as tongue-in-cheek bills that probably won't get a committee hearing, using that time that they could be drafting other bills or what? I mean, do you think that's a good use of your caucus members' time?
I think that was an outlet for some frustration from members. I think now we can focus back on what's happening in the committees. Hopefully, Democrats will come to the table and we'll focus on the problems that we have in the state of Minnesota. That's what we need to be looking at.
House is voting this afternoon on the idea of returning surplus dollars to Minnesota taxpayers in the event of a surplus. Is that something that would have support in the Senate GOP caucus?
Yeah, we've done that in the past, too, when you've seen these proposals. Even Democrats, when Governor Walz was promising a few years ago rebates while he was campaigning and then completely reversed that and went back on raising taxes by $10 billion. Republicans stand by that. We want to make sure that when there's a surplus, the Minnesotans are benefiting, not government.
Is that a proposal that makes sense to look at now, given the projected deficit?
I mean, a lot of times that's a triggering policy, right? So the condition is that there has to be a surplus before we give that back. Now, you can look at the surplus that we currently have, and it's not a structural surplus. So I would say it depends on how that bill is written, but it wouldn't be good fiscal, it wouldn't be prudent right now, I think, to start giving money back until we get our budget in order right now. Democrats have spent us into this position where they're spending more money than they're taking in.
Going back to the budget, most of Minnesota spending is in special education and you know, disability service waivers. Why not there, and why do an investigation into Democratic programs that have passed? Why not actually look at where the majority of the budget is spent?
We're looking, everything's on the table right now. We're looking at areas that we can prioritize Minnesotans. And so wherever that is possible, we're going to make sure that we invest in Minnesotans. But where that is taking us off topic, where it's not showing a benefit, that's subject to reevaluation. It needs to be. I mean, we have a $6 billion hole going forward. And so there are choices that have to be made. So absolutely making sure that we're putting Minnesotans first in that situation.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.